This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Lots to get to this hour. Big show. We begin with politics. 2 times 2 times 2. That's the equation we're considering today. 2 candidates times 2 messages times 2 distinct audiences. This elementary math makes for a very difficult challenge for candidates in 2012. You say one thing to the masses who have all the votes.
What is needed in our country today is not complicated or profound. It doesn't take a special government commission to tell us what America needs. What America needs is jobs, lots of jobs.
But you might say something else to the campaign donors with all the cash.
There are 47% of the people who will vote for the president no matter what. All right, there are 47% who are with him, who are dependent upon government, who believe that they are victims, who believe that government has a responsibility to care for them, who believe that they are entitled to health care, to food, to housing, to you name it. It's an entitlement, and the government should give it to them.
This comment and others from Mitt Romney recorded at a non-public fundraising event. It's all being called gaffe by the candidate, by people in the media and campaign advisors. David Brooks of The New York Times has called it another episode in a, quote, depressingly inept campaign. When will the incompetence stop, writes Brooks. But is this the real issue? And is Mitt Romney the only offender here? Is it possible that Americans are simply getting another glimpse of the Citizens United era? Candidates have to have one message for the masses and another more ruthless hyperbolic sales pitch for the donors. And what Romney has discovered this week is those messages don't mix. Joining us is our master of political linguistics and meta-messages, Kathleen Hall Jamison, director of the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania. Welcome to the program, Kathleen.
Thank you.
So, you know, there's nothing terribly new about the message for the donors doesn't mix with the message for the masses. But the Citizens United era has really sort of racked up the stakes here, it seems to me.
Yes, it has. And the question is the donor voice being heard in the advertising and the campaign, or is the donor voice a secret, quiet voice that works its way once a candidate is elected? Or alternatively, is the donor voice something that you gain money from, you speak to, and then when you're elected, you just discount? Of course, if you're going to run for re-election, you might have to go back to that donor voice.
Except, you know, one of the things that's interesting to me, if someone like James Carville, a tactician in a campaign, speaks of the electorate in this kind of ruthless way, you know, it's okay. They're called a genius. But when the candidate does it, it's called a gaffe.
I think the question about these kinds of statements is, do they represent the candidate's actual attitudes, temperaments, and dispositions or not? Are candidates simply pandering in this environment in order to gain money, or are they representing something that's real that will translate into governance? And to answer that, we need to look at how consistent these views expressed in private to donors and revealed when they weren't anticipated, the revelation was not anticipated, how they consistent they are with what else the candidate says in public.
And, I mean, are we getting to the point, though, in all of these different kinds of settings? And, you know, there's a built-in cynicism, I think, in America about politics and political candidates. But are we getting to the point where it's impossible to know what any of these people actually believes because it's really dependent upon the context and the audience in every case?
What we do know historically is that what candidates say in public and say repeatedly does tend to translate into governance. And as a result, we should be able to trust it more often than not. We don't, however, know whether in these private moments they're telling us something that fleshes out the ambiguities of the public discourse, that all those areas where they haven't revealed anything is actually telling us something we might need to know.
So this, in some sense, is a little bit like the Nixon tapes, where there was one Nixon on the tapes and another Nixon speaking to America.
This is a little like John Kerry being asked about a vote and saying, I voted for the $87 billion before I voted against. Was he speaking about a legislative context, or was he betraying a fundamental sense of inconsistency and an inability to land on one clear policy position? It's a matter of interpretation that voters will never actually be able to judge because he didn't become president, so we don't know.
And this sort of double-talking phenomenon is a bipartisan issue. It's common to Democrats and Republicans. Kathleen Hall Jamison, director of the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania. Thanks, as always.
You're welcome.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.